This is Dave Nadler with the Four Stream Podcast, where we measure science, philosophy, and faith to help make sense out of what we see happening around us. And today, we're talking about indulging ourselves.
Today, we're going to talk about no stealing. And I want you to bring that idea into your conscience. I can remember the first thing that I physically stole in my life. It was a piece of bubble gum. And it happened in the Rexall Pharmacy in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. I remember walking up and stealing it. And I, you know, it wasn't easy for me to do because I knew you weren't supposed to steal. I at least knew that. And I went up and I picked it up and I put it in my pocket and I was thinking about my feelings. And I looked up and you know how they used to have the pharmacists would, they'd be all like up, close to God, looking down on you. And I can remember the pharmacist looking down on me. And I can, as clear as day, remember pulling the candy out of my pocket, the gum, and putting it back into the place and turning around and walking out. Now, if only I'd have learned from that situation. But, you know, there are a lot of different ways that we steal. And I want to just kind of look at that concept, because basically what it means is to take what belongs to somebody else and make it your own. So there's a whole question of ownership here that you need to think about. And it's something that the natural man, is something in our culture right now that people aren't thinking about. We aren't thinking about the whole idea of ownership. We don't even begin to think about the idea that God owns everything. But then when we start thinking about what people own, we start thinking about how can we accumulate that. And for the life of me, I don't know how some people do what they do. I just don't. I mean, I can understand stealing. You know, I cannot pray that all stealers would go to hell because then I'd go too, you know. I don't want to go to hell for my stealing. That's why I'm really glad that I've been covered by the blood of Christ. But as I looked at that idea, the word steal means is from the Greek word klepto. Kleptomaniac. That's where it comes from. And basically, it's that idea of you see somebody, something that belongs to somebody else. Now think about what a kleptomaniac is, because that's where this word comes from. Have you ever bumped into a kleptomaniac?
What is that?
It's somebody who just kind of steals this and steals that and they are obsessed with the possession of other people's things. Okay? So they just keep adding to their collection. They might consume some of it, but a true kleptomaniac puts his stuff on, or her stuff, on display. For personal display, not for anybody else to see. It's that feeling that you get, you know, when you've been out trick-or-treating and you're the oldest of seven kids and you know that those little creeps are going to take all of your candy. If you don't figure out a place to put that candy that's going to be safe and impenetrable. My experience with kleptomania. And I can still see my little brother Joel. I opened up the closet door, and there he is in there stealing my stuff. So a couple of thoughts on this. John chapter 10, and we talked about this a little bit when we talked about the door. And this is, I call it the stealing triplet. These things go together. I'm sure there's a more sophisticated name that I'll hear about after this, because I talk about triangles with friends all the time, and trinities and all those kind of things. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Those are not like being mentioned in a list of three things that don't relate to each other. They're totally tied into each other. So the one who comes to steal, do they want to murder necessarily? No. But what happens when they take what they take that might have value to somebody else? And they bring it and they put it into their own klepto world. And what does that do to a person? Have you ever lost something that you had a high value for? Have you ever had anything stolen that had high value to you? I have. Happened to me down at the cabin once. You know, I was at the cabin is filled with, Morningstar is filled with memories, and I had a pistol that I had gone to a Ducks Unlimited meeting with my brother and my dad. I didn't believe in buying lottery tickets. I was so dedicated to God. But they come by and, you know, they're selling tickets and it's a fundraiser. And so I bought one. And I won a pistol. All of a sudden somebody's standing up and saying, number, blah, 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 blah. And so it was kind of like, I got a big kick out of it because my dad and my brother didn't win anything. And they bought like a whole roll of tickets. And I bought this one ticket. And I'm thinking, now, is this God's favor? And I had that down at the cabin and somebody stole it. And I could trace it back. I had a group of people there. There wasn't anybody from Fox Creek. You know, I loaned out the cabin for various things. And I'm sure the person that put the thing together had no intention of me losing my pistol. But they stole a memory from me. Okay? It had value because of the memory. I got lots of guns. You know, maybe I shouldn't be saying that. Could you just cancel that part out? That would be good. But the idea of stealing and killing, and then what happens to people when we lose stuff and when it's robbed from us, think what it does to the heart of a person, the despair. Now, I'm not talking about losing just a gun. I'm talking about people are being robbed all over the world, oppressed all over the world, all the way through history. What does that do to a soul when somebody takes something that you might not even know rightfully belongs to you, but they take it and they take it for themselves and they kill your relationship with it and take away that opportunity, and then they impact you in destructive ways. So I just wanted you to think about that, how those three things go together. It's just not a matter of a piece of bubble gum, or it's not a matter of a pistol. So the stealing triplet. Second thing. Turn over to Romans. Is there anything more fun than watching a grandma look at her grandson? It's actually not distracting me at all. I mean, I'm actually thinking, I should just quit. Sherry should come up here, and I should go over and do that. It looks like so much fun. Romans 2, verse 21. Thinking about this idea of stealing. You, therefore, if you teach another person, do you not teach yourself? You who preach, you who pontificate, you who present the idea that you're not supposed to steal, do you steal? Why do you ask the question? Because stealing has many, many levels to it. And so that whole idea of hypocrisy, being a thief filled with hypocrisy because we take something that belongs to another and we don't look at ourselves necessarily as thieves. This is why I hate politicians. This is why I hate despots. I just really don't appreciate any kind of thievery whatsoever because of what it does. Because there's such a hypocrisy in it. Do you ever listen to a news story and go, you just want to pull your face off because the hypocrisy is just so rampant in what you're listening to? And then the third one, I think this is interesting because back to the whole idea about how do you understand being a klepto? How do you understand being a thief? Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, I'm going to take you a little bit further on my life of crime. And so, curiously enough, in Urbandale on 70th and Douglas, there used to be a pharmacy. And the pharmacy had a place where you'd eat ice cream and malts and what did they call it back then? Yeah, it was a fountain. That's the word I was looking for. And they had a fountain. And I worked the front desk, and I worked the fountain. So I'm not stealing bubble gum anymore. And the guy that preceded me was explaining to me after I worked there for about a month, and he was moving on to the great Rexall in the sky, I guess. And he was explaining to me how, well, you know, they don't keep track of the cigarettes. Lots of cigarettes. A lot of people came in there to buy cigarettes because that was the place where you bought them. And my parents were 2.5 pack a day or so. I have never in my life had a desire to smoke. I mean, you just imagine being in the back of a station wagon with 9 people in it and 2 people up front smoking, and what it feels like to be back in the back trying to get away from your brothers and sisters and having the smoke rolling back. And so here I am, and it was so easy. People would come in that you knew from your class, because, you know, Urbandale wasn't a huge place, and they'd come in, and it was kind of like, it's probably the closest I've ever come to being a part of organized crime. And, you know, they would pay you for a pack, which is like 35 cents, and then you'd give them 3 packs. And I didn't, you know, I didn't want the cigarettes for me. That wasn't the point. The point was I got involved in taking something that belonged to somebody else and giving it. And it was the first time in my life, so go back to my bubblegum experience, which didn't last very long, but this experience lasted for about a year. And it really impacted me. It impacted me because I never got caught. I facilitated other people getting away with it. You know, I was taking something that belonged to somebody else. I could surely justify it. It was a terrible thing for them, right? And it took me to a whole new level of experiencing what it meant to have your soul be sucked up into stealing. And what happened after that, as I got older and until I became a believer, actually, I was 21, and my heart came alive to the commandments of God, to the truth of God. And during that time, from when I was 17 in Urbandale High School and to the time that I was a believer, a lot of water went under the bridge. And I screwed a lot of people over. I really did. Because my conscience didn't say, this is wrong. My conscience, and I'm not just talking about stealing stuff from them. I'm talking about the kind of robbery that's talked about here. And so it was really good for me to become a believer. And I've mentioned before, I went to the Institute of Basic Youth Conflicts with Bill Gothard. And he told us that we needed to go make restitution for the things that we'd done. And I made a list. And it had 14 people on it. And to the best of my ability, I went down that list. And you know what? That was so liberating because, you know, when you are a stealer and when you are a liar and you're held accountable by God, it is so liberating. It's not like I turned into a different person overnight, but all of a sudden my paradigm changed. You know, I would rather walk through fire than take something that belongs to somebody else. And that's something God's done inside of my heart. So related to that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, hopefully I'm not waxing too eloquently and long on my life experiences. I don't have a list here of pithy stories. Those things like came out, so I take no responsibility for anything that they cause in anybody else, because I do have family members in the room. Check this out. He who steals must steal no longer. There's an end to it. But rather, he must labor. What?
quit stealing, and then labor. Those two things go together. He who steals must quit stealing, but rather he must labor or work, performing with his own hands what is good. So that what? So that he can have a clear conscience? No. So that he will have something to share with someone who's in need. So you see what gets screwed up when we decide to steal? You see how it goofs up so much potential opportunity in our lives? And you see how it draws in laziness? I have a huge difficulty of thinking about any thief working hard. I've seen lots of movies about it. But what putz is? What a putz. If you have to go and steal somebody else's accumulated stuff so that you can get what you want, it's a sad commentary on humanity and on my past. One more passage, and kids will be coming back here, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9. Now, as to the love of the brothers, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. If indeed you practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, or you do practice it, but we urge you, brothers, excel more. And make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, and work with your hands. Exactly the opposite of what a thief is doing, somebody who steals. Make it your ambition. Make it your heart goal. Look at that commandment that's written on your heart, thou shalt not steal. And we haven't even talked a lot about the things we steal from people on an emotional level, because there are lots of emotional thieves. There's lots of emotional thievery. It happens between husbands and wives all the time. It happens between friends. It happens within families. It's not just the possessions. It's stealing the emotional capital that has been allotted to them. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders. You know, how do we get along with outsiders if we're stealers and if they know we steal? Unless they're a thief too, not very well. And you will not be in any need. Now, certainly the motivation for a lot of stealing happens because I got a need, I got to fill it, right? Nobody else is going to do it. But I would really encourage you to think about the different kinds of capital that God has put in the world. Don't just think about the stuff. Think about the stuff. Think about the stuff inside that has been given as a gift by God. There are so many you could talk about. You've heard me talk before about, you know, even as a young age, you're not going to hear me tell any stories about being a bully, because I was bullied when I was young, and then I got bigger. And then when I would see people being bullied, I would step in, and I would say, leave that person alone. You're not going to hear those from me, but that's one way people steal from each other. Is there anything sadder than watching somebody's dignity stolen by some putz? So I hope that all makes sense. I'm trying to like open some doors there about that commandment, because it's not just a matter of, boom, here it is. It's a matter of my conscience. And bring these commandments into your conscience. You know, if you're a young man or a young woman, what a great opportunity. I mean, it'll take long to learn the Ten Commandments. I had to do it so I could ignore them later. I had to do it when I was a little Lutheran, but you know, don't just memorize them. Just go, what are these things? What are these things? And why are they important to me as a young man or as a young woman? And in that, you can find that clear conscience, that clean conscience that you want to have. And then it doesn't get in the way of that circle that God is invited us into, which is to humble ourselves, pure heart, draw close to God, because I have a clear conscience, actually do real kindness, and then participating in a life of growing life.
Thanks for listening to this introspective conversation about what it means to steal from somebody else. You can find additional resources at forestream.com, where we are dedicated to finding true hope.